This morning, I'd like to introduce you to some particular psalms, in as a way of a place to start this morning. These psalms are found in 120 through 134. And as you look above these songs, you'll find it says that these are songs, are a song of degrees. Above every one of these, now there's 15 of these psalms. It goes all the way from 120 to Psalms 134. And these psalms are very short. A couple of them only have three verses. They follow the longest book and the longest psalm, maybe even the longest book or chapter in the Bible. Psalms 119 has 176 verses, and it'd take a long time for us to go through that psalm. But this morning, now I'm not going to try to preach to you on all of these psalms, but I would recommend them to you. They are now there's several opinions on what the song of degree means. There is a lot of speculation, and I'm not even going to go into that. You look that up and find out for yourselves. But the word that I want to talk about is I want to read Psalms 121 and speak a little bit out of Psalms 122, and then maybe a little out of Psalms 124 and Psalms 130. Now there is a lot in these psalms. And I recommend them. There's a lot of wonderful exhortation, a lot of encouragement, a lot of praise to God. But there is a particular way this morning that my mind is trying to go. And I was called on last weekend over at the church in Snyder, Oklahoma, and they asked me to preach. And I tried to preach on some of these things, but my mind is kind of a little different on these this morning. So I hope that you'll pray for us, and that the Lord will grant us a liberty to preach the gospel. Now, in Psalms 121, he said, "I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall not slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth, even forevermore." Now, there's a lot of thoughts that we could get in that, but I'm going to skip on down and look in Psalms 122. Just go right on. "I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Our feet shall stand within thy gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem is built a city that is compacted together. Whether the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, into the testimony of Israel, to give thanks unto the name of the Lord. For there are the thrones of judgment, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee. Peace be within thy walls and prosperity within thy palaces. For my brethren and companions' sake, I will now say, peace be within thee. Because of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek thy good." Okay? Now then, skip to 124. 123 is good, but 124. Notice it says, if it had not been for the Lord who was on our side, now may Israel say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side when men rose up against us, then they had swallowed us up quick, with their wrath and was kindled against us. Then the waters had overflowed us, had overwhelmed us. The streams had gone over our soul. Then the proud waters had gone over our soul. Blessed be the Lord who hath not given us into a prey to their teeth. Our soul is escaped as a bird out of the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken and we are escaped. Oh, help, our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. Now, I know there's a lot of reading, but now then, I'm going to hope, I trust to make a point here in a little while. Notice in Psalms 130 now. Out of the depths have I cried unto the Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive unto the voice of my supplications. If thou shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? That's a question. But there is forgiveness with thee. Thou mayest be feared. I wait for the Lord. My soul doth wait in his word. Do I hope? My soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. I say more than they that watch for the morning. Let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is plenteous redemption. And he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. Now, as I was reading these last evening, I thought, who is Israel in these texts? Just about every one of these psalms speaks of Israel. In verse 21, it says, "Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall never slumber nor sleep." And then in verse 124, it says, "If it had not been for the Lord who was on our side, now may Israel say, if it hadn't been for the Lord who was on our side, men who rose up against us, we would have been swallowed up." We would have been swallowed up. And then again in Psalms 130, he says, "Let Israel hope in the Lord, and with him is plenteous redemption. And he shall redeem Israel from all his sins." Now, there is a lot of folks that want to make all of this national or cultural Israel. Okay? Now, I'm going to go in a little bit over to the New Testament. But I like this brother Hugh and I call it your sugar stick. It says that we should rightly divide the word of truth. We as a workman should study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Amen. All right, now he likes that one. He wrote some series on that. But when we look at Israel, if we take Israel here as all of the nation of Israel, let me ask the question, has all of the nation of Israel been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ? Now, it says, he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. There is a lot of people in today's culture that obsess, really, over the fact that Israel is that. And first of all, if we look at these verses, we'll know that Jerusalem is the center of this Israel. And there's a lot of people that say that that God is going to, at the end of time, is going to gather a multitude of all of his elect people over into Israel. And he's going to set up literally on the throne of David over there and become the Messiah and have all of these things and reign in Israel in over there. Well, now I believe. And it would be just pure ignorance for us to sit here and think about Jerusalem as not being the center of Israel. But he's speaking here, Brother David, about Jerusalem as a special place. He said, "I was glad when they said unto me, let us go up to the house of the Lord." Wherever this is the house of the Lord. "Our feet shall stand within the gates of Jerusalem." Jerusalem. Now, our president, and I thank God that he did it, moved our embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. I think that was a proper thing to do because Jerusalem has always been the center and the capital of the nation of Israel. But is that where David's throne is? That's what I want us to think about is if Israel here is under consideration, is all of the elect of God, then all the elect of God have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus. Now, we could flip back over to Psalms 111 and look at, this is a beautiful psalm. All of us love this. I'll begin reading in verse 6 of Psalms 111. He hath showed his people. Now, this is the question I want you to ponder with me this morning. Who is his people? Is it national Israel? And is it, and when we're talking and reading Israel here, are we speaking here of those whom Jesus, does God love the nation of Israel any more than he does the nation of America or Iraq or Japan or China or any of these other nations? Is there some special thing that God has? And there's a lot of folks that say, Brother Allen, you're just getting pretty close to blasphemy here when you start. And it talks about if this is the nation of Israel, Brother Hewlin, and this is God's chosen nation, and we are, and this is the one, then it would be very bad for us to say anything bad about Jerusalem or Israel in the from a natural standpoint. It'd be blasphemous. And there's people that would say that's right, Brother Daniels. But, and there's preachers today, you can find them all over the internet and all over just that tell you, you need to give money to Jerusalem so that they can establish their kingdom over there and all this stuff. But my point here is this. And I want to get back to Psalms 111. He shall show his people the power of his works, that he may give them the heritage of the heathen. The works of his hands are verity and judgment. All his commandments are sure. They stand fast forever and ever and are done in truth and uprightness. Now, I want us to think about they shall stand fast forever. How long is that? And are done in truth and righteousness. Now, John Gibson, I want you to look at this verse 9. And think about it with me. He has sent redemption unto his people. He sent redemption unto his people. He had commanded his covenant. Forever holy and reverend is his name. He has sent redemption unto his people. Now, if his people that were under consideration that has been redeemed from their sins, and he said, and that Psalms 130, Brother Hewlin, it says, let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is plenteous mercy, and with him is plenteous redemption. There is plenteous redemption, and he shall redeem Israel from all of their iniquities. How many of his sins has he removed from Israel? All of them. All right, now then, this may get very confusing if we don't apply Brother Hewlin's text. You have to study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. There is more than one Israel talked about in this book, Brother Hewlin, and I've read your writings on it. And I want to go this morning over to the New Testament, and I want to look at the book of Romans. Now, if we don't have any other book in the Bible to prove my points this morning, Romans will do it. All right, now then, we're going to go back and forth in various places in this book, but I want you to look in Romans chapter 9, okay? And we're going to read some verses in Romans chapter 9. Now, I want you to notice what Paul says. He said, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not. Why would he say I'm not lying? He said, I'm not lying to you. I'm telling you the truth. He said, I say the truth in Christ and I lie not. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost that I have great heaviness and continued sorrow in my heart, for I could wish myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. Who is that? Who are Israelites? He didn't leave you to doubt. These are Israelites. Israelites. To whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises. He said, these people, he said, I could wish myself accursed from God. I could wish myself to be cast aside if I could find my brethren, according to my flesh, my brethren, if they would believe and understand and accept, I want to say this very carefully, accept Jesus as the Messiah. He said he came unto his own and his own received him not. But to them that received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them which were born, not born of the flesh, nor born of the spirit, but born of the spirit. I didn't get all that, but it says, but they which were born of the spirit of God, they were born already. Now the question here is this, and going back over there to some of those in Psalms, who is it that has hope in God? Who is it that believes that, first of all, I want to say that there are many, many, many of God's children that have never heard the gospel. There's many of God's children that will die outside of the gospel, truth. There's a lot of God's children that will never understand or hear the gospel while they live on this earth. But I pray to God that you will understand that I mean this morning that those men and those brethren and sisters are children of God. If they believe that Jehovah is the God of the creator of this world and they believe in Jehovah, as these Psalms said, they are children of God. Okay? Now, I want you to understand that. But these, when we're talking about Israel here, and all of those Psalms over there, where is the house of God? When we look at Israel in the Old Testament, the nation of Israel, I'm talking about the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. All of those descendants, and there was a covenant. God made a covenant with Abraham over there, and he said, I'll give you all of this land here. And because of that covenant that God said over there that you shall inherit the land of Canaan, they believe, there's a lot of folks believe that God still has a special place for the nation of Israel over there, and that he is going to bring all of his people one day, gather them all together over there. Now that, I don't have an argument with, if that's what you believe, but I want to try to convince you otherwise. Now, it says, now notice it says, who are the, backing up verse 4 in Romans 9, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises. Now, there is nobody that could dispute the fact that God blessed that nation. The nation of Israel was God's chosen people. He set his name upon them. And by the way, we're going to find Jacob down here. Jacob is the father. There was 12 tribes of Jacob, 12 sons of Jacob. But at one time, and by the way, Jacob's name means a supplanter. It means a deceiver. It means one that trips up the hills. But God chose these people, and he set his name upon them. And there's one time that Jacob was out in the wilderness, and he was wrestling with the particular man. And he says, I will not let you go until you bless me. And it says that the angel, it was an angel, touched him in the hollow of his thigh. And he said, thy name shall no more be called Jacob, but Israel. He changed his name from Jacob to Israel. So when we're talking about Jacob and or Israel in the natural, we're talking about the same group of people, and which is the nation of Israel, natural Israel. But is this what these verses mean? This is the question I want you to remember, try to think about. Whose are the fathers, and of whom concerning the flesh Christ came? Jesus came out of the tribe of Judah. He came as the Savior, as Brother John and I talked about earlier, according to the covenant that God made before the foundation of the world. He sent his son, and he came out of the tribe of Judah. That's where the word Jews come from Judah. Whose are the fathers, and of whom as pertaining concerning the flesh Christ came, who is over all God blessed forever. Okay? Not as though the word of God, now listen very carefully. Not as though, and as Brother Hewlin said, listen, I'm gonna thread a needle. Remember that, Hewlin? Not as though the word of God had taken non-effect. Now listen, they are not all Israel, which are Israel. Is that double talking? If either you're Israel or you're not Israel. He said, everybody that is of the nation of Israel is not of the spiritual Israel. And we're gonna look at this. He said, neither because they are the seed of Abraham. Abraham had a lot of children. And one of them was called Ishmael by a handmaiden. And this is what happens when you try to help God out. God had said, in Isaac shall thy seed be called. But here is Abraham, an old man, and Sarah, an old woman. So they said, well, we need to help the Lord out here. And so they sent in Hagar and come out a mocking Ishmaelite. That's what he's called. Not all. Now, I'm not saying that I'm not putting sonship on whether or not Ishmael is a child of God or not. I don't know. But I do know something about Esau. Now, I'll argue with about Esau. Because it says, neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children. But in Isaac shall thy seed be called. That is, they which are of the children of the flesh. Listen, these are not the children of God. These are not the children of God. But the children of the promise are counted for the seed. For this is the word of promise. At this time I will come and Sarah shall have a son. And not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even our father Isaac. Now notice this, parentheses. It's important. A lot of times parentheses, and you can just write over them without changing. But the parentheses here gives us some very important information. Now we're talking here about these twin boys, okay, Jacob and Esau. He said, the children being not yet born. These children were not even born yet, being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil. Now, it was done this way, and you can slice it however you like it. But it says, this was done that the purpose of God according to election might stand. Election. That's a word that a lot of the religious world does not like. Because if you're not an elect, if you're not chosen by God, then we don't have any chance. I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, chance doesn't have anything to do with this. It's purpose. God purposed to save his people from their sins. And I tell you, he did it. He did it. Now, but notice it says, for the children of God being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand. Listen, not of works. I don't know how many times we have to say that. Not of works. Not by works of righteousness, which they did. It's not according to what they did. It's not according to who their mother and daddy was or where they came from or what tribe they came out. But here it is. It says, it was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob have I loved and Esau have I hated. What say ye? Well, they say, well, that's not fair. Well, are we talking now? Listen, brothers and sisters, you say, well, I don't understand how God could hate anybody. Well, he hated Esau. Now, you can cut that any way you like. You say, well, how much? He didn't really hate him. He just loved him less. Well, really? Does God have degrees of love and hate? You say, God loves with a perfect love and he hates with a perfect hatred. So when you look at this, I say, I don't understand that, why he would hate Esau. I have a different problem. I can't understand how he would love Jacob. You see, I don't understand. Jacob was a liar. He was a supplanter. He did all those things. He deceived his old father and all of these different things that he did. And he did all those things because he was a sinner. Now, listen very carefully. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. For when he saith unto Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then it is not of him that willeth. Listen, it is not of him that willeth. It's not according to your free will. It's not according to him that runneth. It is not of those that running after it. But it is of God who showeth mercy. Salvation, brothers and sisters, in the standpoint of who we're talking about here, we're talking about a specific people out of Israel. I believe we're talking here about God's people, God's chosen people, God's elect people in the nation of Israel. That's who we're speaking of here. And we'll get to that a little later, but it notices there, therefore hath he mercy, and he will have mercy, and him whom he will, he hardeneth. Wilt thou say, O man? This is what they would say. Wilt thou say then, O man? Why dost thou find fault? If God did it, can you say that's not fair or God didn't do it right? Notice it's very plain language for who hath resisted his will. But nay, O man, who art thou? Who are you that repliest against God? That charges him with unrighteousness. Who are you? It says, not of him that willeth, but of him that runneth. But we have a great religious order today that says, yes, it is. It's according to man's will. It's your will. And if you have free will, then you can choose to be a child of God, or you can choose not to be. It's all up to you. God may, you know, elections like this. God cast a vote and the devil cast a vote and you're the one that's in the middle and you got to break the tie. Yeah, whether you can choose today, whether you go to heaven or whether you go to hell. It's all up to you according to your free will. That's replying against this text. It's not according to your will, but it's according to what, Brother Hewlett? According to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus. When? Before the world began. This is the doctrines, brothers and sisters, that separates us from the rest of the religious world. There's a lot of folks that believe these things, but do they believe them the way... As I was telling Brother John, you can take the Arminians and the Calvinists. You put them in a bag and shake them up and they both fall out together. You know why? Because they believe that the gospel is God's ordained means to eternal life. There is no salvation outside of the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you don't believe that Jesus is the Christ, when you die, you're going to hell. Period. Is that what this Bible teaches? Now then, remember, now he's identified who this Israel is. Not all of national Israel is of the Israel of which I'm speaking. There is an elect, and this is what Jesus told his apostles, and he told this to the woman that came seeking after him. He said, I am not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But notice, Brother David, he said sheep. To the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And he told his apostles, and they said, go not to the way of the Gentiles, but go you to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. God sent his apostles, and Jesus went preaching to the children of God, who was out of the nation of Israel. And this is the prayer. Now I ask you a question here. We're going to chapter 10. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Now, is Paul here now praying that God would save all of those in national Israel? Who is Paul praying for here? I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, he's praying for the same Israel that was redeemed from their sins. He's praying for the same ones, brothers and sisters, that says he sent redemption unto his people. You remember the story about in Matthew, it's one of the Christmas stories, you know, that Mary was going to have a child. She came back and Joseph noticed that she was with child, and the Holy Spirit came unto him and said, Joseph, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. Why? Because he shall save his people from their sins. Who are his people? Who is Israel? When we read those Old Testament scriptures over there about Israel, we need to understand that there is many of Israel over there, and we can prove that right here in this scripture, several different places where Jesus said to these Pharisaical Jews, you are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He said, I know my sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life. Who does he give eternal life? He gives eternal life to all that was given to him by the Father. And they're not just natural Israel. There is spiritual Jews. Now, notice he said, now what's he praying for here in John 10? My heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is they might be saved. They might be saved. Is he here praying that God would add to his book of life? That somebody here would do the things. And you go on down through here and it says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in your heart, you shall be saved. Well, does that mean when I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and I confess with my mouth and do all the things that they say I'm supposed to do, then God writes my name in the book of life? I'm telling you, your names were written there before the foundation of the world. He knows who you are. He knows where you're going, and He knows where you've been, and He knows, brothers and sisters, everything about us. He knows our going in and our going out. He shall preserve Israel. Preserve. Preserve you. You believe in preservation of the saints? I believe in the preservation of the saints. But when we look at this chapter, Paul is here praying for his brethren, his kinsmen, according to the flesh, that they would hear the word of God, that they would hear the preaching of the gospel, and that they would believe that Jesus is the Messiah, that the one that came, the one that Israel crucified, that he was indeed the Christ, the Son of the living God. These people have a zeal of God. I bear them record, my brethren, according to the flesh, that they have a zeal of God, but it's not according to knowledge. Notice he says, this Israel that I'm praying for here, they are ignorant. That's not a bad word. That simply means they are without knowledge. They do not have the knowledge of this. And it says, for they are ignorant of God's righteousness, going about to establish their own righteousness, and have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Now here's the text. For Christ is the end of the law. Christ is the end of the law. For righteousness to everyone that believeth. Now, John, that is an ETH word. You get it? It's a present tense participle. And it does not mean whosoever will believe, but it means whosoever is believing. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness' sake to everyone that is presently believing. If you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the eternal Son of God, well, how did you get to know that? Jesus said to Peter, he said, flesh and blood did not reveal this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. He said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. He said, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, flesh and blood. If you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the eternal God, you didn't get that because all of a sudden you or some preacher told you about it, or you just decided to believe it. You believe it, brothers and sisters, because you have been born of God's Holy Spirit. Every single one that Jesus came to die for will at one time, before they die, be born to the Spirit of God. Without the loss of one, not one shall perish or be lost. Now then, so we have here a Israel among, there is an Israel in the midst of Israel. Who is Israel? When we read those texts over there in Psalms, in those Psalms, those beautiful Psalms, when he's talking about God shall preserve Israel, does he mean national Israel over here, that those people over there will, that he has some great responsibility to those people. And if you will just understand, now notice, I want to tell you who really is a Jew. Are you a Jew? You a Jew? Be careful how you answer that. But listen to what he says in Romans chapter 3, chapter 2. Now, these people, these Gentiles and these Jews, the Jews thought Gentiles were dogs. They didn't have any use for these Gentiles. And it says, now notice he's here speaking to these Jews. And I believe, Brother Keith, to Jews who are born again, who need knowledge, who need to understand these things. He said, thou makest thy boast of the law. You boasting about the law? We've got the, we've never been into bondage any man. We're Abraham's sons. He said, if you were Abraham's children, you would not seek to kill me. But notice he says, thou makest thy boast of the law through the breaking of the law. Dishonorest thou God? He said, you boast about the law and you break the law. For the name of God, now listen to this, brethren, for the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you. You make up things all the time, and you do all these things, you say, now notice what he says, for the circumcision verily profiteth if thou keep the law. We're talking about natural circumcision that was given under the law service, and that's how you became a Jew. That's how it did, not how you became a Jew, you was born a Jew, but the proof of your nationality is the circumcision. It was identifying mark that God put upon Israel. And if you come in out of Israel and you're one of these other nations, you must be circumcised. And it means the same thing now, brothers and sisters, it meant then. Enough said? All right. Circumcision verily profiteth if thou keep the law. But if thou be a breaker of the law, circumcision is made uncircumcision. Therefore, the uncircumcision, that's the Gentiles, those who are not circumcised, therefore the uncircumcision keepeth the righteousness of the law, shall not his uncircumcision be counted as circumcision? He said, if there, here is these Gentiles out here, Brother Hewlin, that are, they're living, godly lives, are living according to the teachings of the law, but they don't have the law. They're uncircumcised in the flesh, but let me tell you something, they're circumcised somewhere else, and they're circumcised not in the flesh, but in the heart. And this is what he's going to tell us. And shall not uncircumcision, which is by nature, if it be the fulfilling law, you judge by the letter, and circumcision does transgress the law. Now notice verse 28 and 29. I read all that to get to this. He is not a Jew, which is one outwardly. Neither is that circumcision, which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew, which is one inwardly. And the circumcision is of the heart in the spirit and not of the letter, whose praise is of God and not of, praise is, I read that wrong. Whose praise is not of men, but of God. So, if you are a Gentile, anybody natural Jews here? I don't think so. You're all Jews by the Spirit. You have every one of you, if you believe that Jesus is the Christ, then you are included in Israel. You are a spiritual Jew. You are a member of the Israel of God. God loved you and he sent his son to die for you. And so when you look at this from that standpoint, they say, well, what about Israel then, the nation of Israel? Well, I'm going to get to that. Now then, when we're reading this book of Romans, the whole theme of the book is what we're trying to speak about here, is Jews and Gentiles and becoming one in God. Now notice it says, and Paul's praying for his brethren in the national Jew, in the national Israel. Those who are spiritually born, who have a zeal of God, that they would receive the gospel message and quit trying to work your way to heaven. they're trying to get what they already got. Does that make sense? They already have eternal life, but they're working under the law. And it says over in Corinthians that if you read the law, you got a veil over your face. You can't see Jesus when you got the law over your head. He said, when the veil is taken away, the heart shall turn to God. And this is what we're speaking. Now then, chapter 11. Another. what about national Israel? What about spiritual Israel? What about God's people in Jerusalem today? What about them? Are they lost? Now notice, somebody might say this, Brother Allen, if I believe what you did, then this is what they're going to say. I say then, hath God cast away his people? Israel was his people, and we know that he said, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how oft would I have gathered you under my, as a chicken did under her wing, but you would not. Therefore, he says, your house is left unto you desolate. He turned away from Jews and turned to the Gentiles. So has God cast away his people, which he foreknew? I love Paul's answer. God forbid. God forbid. For I also am an Israelite. Paul said, if God's cast away his people, which he foreknew, then I'm cast away too, because I'm an Israelite. I'm an Israelite. Of the seed of Abraham and of the tribe of Benjamin, God hath not cast away his people which he foreknew. Now, don't read over that word foreknow real quickly. Hath God cast away his people which he foreknew? What does that mean? Did he foreknew? Is he speaking there only of national Israel? I can tell you, brothers and sisters, that God chose a people in his son before Israel ever came about. I've heard this man say one time, he said, God did all this before there was ever a wave beat on a timely shore. It was already, you try to go back before Genesis 1. And brethren, that's how long God loved you. And that's when he foreknew you. Romans 8, it ties right in beautifully with this. And for whom he did foreknow? What? What about those he foreknew? He did predestinate. And whom he predestinated, he called. And whom he called, he justified. And whom he justified, he glorified. And these are all the same people. So has God cast away his people? Well, if you take this to be national Israel, the answer is inevitably yes. But that's not, now notice, it's God hath not cast away his people. I don't know where to start here, but what saith the answer of God unto him? I have reserved, listen to this, I love this. I have reserved unto myself 7,000 men that have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. I doubt very seriously if that's a literal 7,000, but 7 is a whole number, and 1,000 is a number that can't be numbered. It's an innumerable number. He said he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. There's probably 1,000 hills in Kansas. So he didn't own any of the hills in Oklahoma and Texas. Well, brother, he's simply saying he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. That means all the hills. He owns all of them. He says, I have reserved unto myself 7,000 men that have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. Even so, at this present time, also, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. God has a people in Israel, in national Israel. But not all of national Israel is of spiritual Israel. What then? Question. What then? Verse 7. Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it. Isn't that what Romans 9 said? He said he did all this that the purpose of God according to election might stand. It said the rest were blinded. The rest were blinded. According as it is written, God had given the spirit of slumbered eyes, and they should not see, nor ears that they should not hear unto this day. There's many of God's children over there today praying at the wall. Praying at the wall. They believe in Jehovah God. They believe in Isaiah 53, and they believe all these verses. And the question was asked, by that Ethiopian, when he reads Isaiah, he said, who's this talking about? Is he talking about himself or some other man? But he said, he began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And the Ethiopian said, here's water. He's ready to be baptized. When you hear the gospel preached, brethren, it will set you free from all the isms of the world. But brethren, ignorance. There is many of God's children today that are elect of God, redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. And how many of you would like to have some of those Israelites come in among us? Have you prayed? My heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is they might be saved. I want them to be saved to the truth. And that's what Paul is praying here. I want them to come and enjoy the gospel truth and believe that Jesus is the Christ. He said, how can they hear without a preacher? How can they preach except they be sent? Jesus says the fields are white in harvest. Pray that the Lord of the harvest would send laborers. And I praise God every day for those that he sent to this little flock. I praise God for every single one of you. But God's hearing us and he's blessing us. But that's not, he said, if you don't believe that he can do this, just try me. He said, I'll open you up the windows of heaven and I'll pour you out a blessing which you cannot deceive. So when we look at this from this standpoint, brethren, what about national Israel? And I gotta be able to stop somewhere. So, where are we gonna start? Okay, here's the Gentiles. Okay, they're Gentiles now are hitting on the Jews. If you'd have been a better Christian, if you'd have been a better child of God, you wouldn't be cut off from where you are now. But God cut you off so we could be in. You see, we're a lot better off than you guys. That's ridiculous. But that's what they were saying, Brother Hugh. God, they cut you off. God cut these Jews off so we could be saved. Now notice the reasoning that the Apostle Paul is going to put forth. He says, For if the casting away of them, the Jews, be the reconciling of the world, Brother Hugh, the Gentile world, the world, the reconciling of the world, maybe it's another world. There's a lot of worlds. What shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? For if the first fruit be holy, all it's always a lump. And he's saying here that Israel, the Israel of God, was the first fruits. And if the first fruits is holy, then the whole lump is holy. And that's the reasoning Paul's putting out here. For if God spared not, verse 21, if God spared not the natural branches, that's the Jews, take heed lest he also spare not you. You say, God's able to, you were grafted in to, you think it'd be hard for God to graft these Jews back into the tree? No. Behold, therefore, the goodness and the severity of God. We want to hear about the goodness of God. But we don't like to hear about the severity of God. There is chastisement. There is rebuke. There are all of these different things. And you think that you are something special, that you have the church and they're out. Don't you be boasting against those Jews. Don't you think God's able to graft them back in again? Behold the goodness and the severity of God. If thou continue in his goodness, you're blessed. You're blessed. They also, if they abide not still in unbelief, if they abide not in unbelief, they shall be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. Now then, I want you to think, reason with me for just a minute and make another point. If this is national Israel, Brother Keith, if this is natural Israel that we're speaking of here, okay, then God cut them off. And he probably took their name out of the book of life. I mean, that's the only way you can reason this. I mean, they were cut off. And if this is eternal salvation to these Jews, then he cut them off. But he'll route them back in again if they'll believe. How ridiculous does that sound? Now, for if thou wert cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and wert grafted contrary to nature into the good olive tree, how much more shall these which be the natural branches be grafted into their own olive tree? God chose these people. He gave them the covenants and the ordinances and all of these things. For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant. Does that upset you? I don't want you to be ignorant about this, of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. When's that? All right, now then, I got a wonderful statement here for you. All Israel shall be saved. What? Paul's over here in 10th chapter saying that he's praying that Israel will be saved. Can I tell you, brothers and sisters, that there's more than one salvation in this book? When you're looking over there in Romans chapter 10, he's praying that God would save them to the gospel truth. He's praying that he would save them, that they may understand and believe the gospel message. Here he's saying all Israel shall be saved. Now how's that going to happen? Well, he didn't leave you to doubt. He said all Israel shall be saved. How's that going to happen? There shall come out of Zion the deliverer. We could say savior. The word deliverer and the word savior means the very same thing. He said, for there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and he shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. Well, what about Esau? Didn't say a word about turning ungodliness from Esau. That's God's business. He knows who they are. But I want you to understand something. Would it made any difference if he'd have said this in verse 26? And so all Israel shall be saved, that is written, there shall come out of Zion they deliver, and all that will turn away from their sins in Jacob shall be saved. Is there any difference in you turning away from sin and God turning you away from sin? It did not say that Jacob was going to repent and be saved, but it says God is going to turn him. God is going to turn Jacob away from, if it had been left up to Jacob, Jacob would have continued like it always had, down the road of self, degradation and all these things, but God arrested him. He arrested him, brother, and he changed his name from the planter to Israel. And every single one that's represented in Jacob, Jacob have I loved. How long did he love him? When did he start loving him? He loved him with an everlasting love. And he said, therefore, with loving kindness has he drawn him to him. He drew you to him. You are a spiritual Jew. You have been born of the Spirit of God. You have been circumcised not in the flesh, but in the heart. And the Spirit of God has quickened you and made you alive in him. Now notice it says, and so all Israel shall be saved. There shall come out of Zion the deliverer. And so turn away ungodliness for Jacob. This is my covenant. You get it? This is my covenant unto them when I shall take away their sins. Now I ask you a question, brothers and sisters. If God has taken away your sins, is there anybody that can lay a charge to them? If your sins have been removed, you don't have any sins. He turned you away from your sins, and he turned all of your sins onto the Son of God. He imputed your sins. He died in your place. He died for your sins. He said, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people. Now the question is, are they all going to get saved? Are they all going to be saved? Well, it says here, all Israel shall be saved. Now, if you want to take that as the national Jews, fine. Then all natural Jews are going to be in heaven. Not a single one of them is going to go to hell. If this is natural Israel. If it is, then all Israel shall be saved, all national Israel. And by the way, if Israel, national Israel is the only one that's going to be saved, where does that leave you? Where does that leave you? But brethren and sisters, I'm telling you, it's according to the covenant of God that he made before the foundation of the world. And brethren, I got one last one. I could go to Hebrews, but I'm not going there. I want to go to Revelation. You like Revelation? I like it. I don't understand it all, but I like this fifth chapter of Revelation. Now listen to it very carefully. I saw in the right hand of him that sat upon the throne a book written on the backsides and sealed with seven seals. Now, first of all, whoever has the book is sitting on the right hand of God. Okay? He's there on the right hand. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven, listen, no man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, weep not. Weep not, behold, the root of David hath prevailed to open the book. Behold, the lion. Isn't it strange, Brother Dave, we got a lion and a lamb? He's the same person talking about a lion and a lamb. He's the Lamb of God, but here he's the Lion of Judah. He is no longer a little lamb as a sacrifice, but it says, weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne. Listen, this is in heaven. Behold, And lo, in the midst of the throne and the four beasts, in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb. Isn't that peculiar? He talks about a lion and a lamb. You know, it says over in Isaiah chapter 11, the lion and the lamb are going to lay down together. Can I tell you that he does it every time one of God's little children, Satan is a roaring lion. And we by nature are devouring beast. But when he comes and he makes you one of his children, the lion and the lamb lay down together. And that's one instance of that. But here we have the lion of the tribe of Judah and a lamb. And behold, and lo, in the midst of the throne of the four beasts and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb. Listen, as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth from the earth. He came and he took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the four and 20 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And this is the verse I want. And they sung a new song. They sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals and thereof, for thou wast slain. Thou, it's already happened. It's over. It's finished deal. Thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God. How? By thy blood out of, now listen, it didn't say every nation, kindred, tongue, and people. It didn't say God redeemed every nation, kindred, tongue, and people. But it says he hath redeemed us by thy blood out of. Don't miss that. It's out of. It's not all of every nation, kindred, tongue, and people is going to be saved. But God has a people, and we don't know who they are. There's more as the signs of the sky as sigh and the sands of the sea. And it says here there's 10,000 times thousands and thousands of thousands. I want you to try to figure out that many. And I can tell you exactly how many is going to be there, Brother Hewlin. All that was given to the Son and all that he died for, every single one of them, they're all going to be there. And this is what he's saying. That now, don't miss this. And the point here is this. That he has redeemed us to God. He has redeemed us to God by his blood out of every kindred, tongue, people, and nation. Do you believe that God has a people in Iraq? If you don't believe that, this is wrong. Do you believe that God has a people in Japan, in China, in all of those nations of the world? God has a people. He chose them out of those nations. He didn't choose the nations. People say, well, he chose Israel. Well, he chose somebody out of Israel, just like he did Japan and China and all these other nations. He has a people in Israel, and they're spiritual Israel, just like your spiritual Israel. And every single one of Israel shall be saved, Brother John. Every single one of Israel shall be saved. And that includes all his people out of every nation, kindred, tongue, and people. Out of them. Brother, this is for plain language. And when you look at this from the standpoint, think about when you hear people talking about how God is going to, he has a great, great obligation, and don't ever talk about national Israel. I believe God has a people over there. And I'm thankful. And they are our ally. They're one of the best allies that the United States have. And President Netanyahu is a wonderful man of God. I believe that he is a Jew that's still looking for the coming of the Messiah. One day he's gonna see him coming. But I'm telling you, Netanyahu is gonna be there the same as Hewlin Bass and every one of us. Because, not because of who he is or what nation he's out of, but because of his name written in God's book. And the evidence, brothers and sisters, is not what tribe you're out of or where you came from or what your pedigree is, but the evidence is what is in your heart. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And brethren, that's evidence. That's not the only evidence. I've gone a little over. That's part of the wedding, Keith. That's about my regular time. Anyway, Lord bless you. I got another hour to go if y'all want to listen. But we can now go back to those songs of degrees and talk about all those beautiful things in there. But when you're looking at those psalms over there, and when you're reading Israel, don't think of nation of Israel. Think of the saved people of God in Israel. Where is the throne of God today? It's said right there. Jesus is sitting on it. He sat down on the right hand of God. The throne of God is already established in heaven. So how can he be waiting to set up a throne over there? Don't make much sense to me. I appreciate your kind attention.